Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that you must notice when you read the gospel for the day from Mark chapter 16 is that nobody was expecting a resurrection from the dead. The women got up early in the morning to finish the work they began to do on the Sabbath day, which is to prepare the body of Jesus for its final resting in the tomb. So they came as soon as the Sabbath was over, early in the morning, so that they could perform the last rites upon the body of Jesus. They were not hurrying to the tomb to be witnesses of the resurrection. And as a matter of fact, when they saw the angel of God, it frightened them. They were frightened. And when he told them, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." When the angel finished his announcement to them, they went as fast as their feet would carry them to get themselves away from there. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 that they were trembling and they were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So, the resurrection has happened. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus told his disciples over and over and over again that it would happen. And when it happened, nobody believed it. Right? Nobody believed it. So, when the women finally compose themselves, get their heads together, and realize what has just happened, they go and they tell the disciples. Now you think, disciples, well-instructed men, right? They didn't believe them either, right? The very ones who were going to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, when they were first told by eyewitnesses that Jesus was risen from the dead, they didn't believe it. And then Jesus showed himself to them. And then they were finally convinced that he was risen again from the dead. But here's the thing that you need to remember when you read all four Gospels together is, over a period of 40 days, Jesus over and over again appeared to the disciples, and he showed himself alive unto them, not a spirit, not a ghost, but flesh and bone, right? He was truly, really, physically alive. We, in the creed, we confess the resurrection of the body. Both Christ's body and on the last day, our bodies. The resurrection will not be an ethereal thing in the never-never land of spirituality. The resurrection is a real, honest-to-goodness actuality. All right? And so, but the disciples were so shocked, so amazed by this, that Jesus took 40 days to show himself alive to them, as St. Luke tells us, by many infallible proofs. So that thereafter, these disciples were willing to bear any cross. They were willing to deal with any kind of affliction because they knew that everything they ever believed about Jesus was true, They believed that they had eternal life through Jesus Christ, and therefore they could face death. They could stand before the lions in the arena, and they could welcome the coming of the day of their death, because they knew that they were in possession of life everlasting. And so, today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and as we join together in hymns and in the liturgy and in the creed, and we confess that we believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we rejoice in it, there are four things I want to remind you of today. Why the resurrection of Christ is so important, and why it is so encouraging to Christian believers. And number one is this: the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that he is the Son of God as he claimed to be. Right? Throughout his earthly ministry, in different ways, at different times, with different people, Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be the Messiah promised to the Jews, claimed to be, listen, God in human flesh made manifest. Right? And the resurrection proves that this is true. Because if Jesus was lying, if Jesus was misrepresenting the truth of Scripture, God the Father would not have raised him from the dead. All right? And so when we see the resurrection of the dead, the first thought that ought to enter into our minds as we realize that Christ is risen is, so everything he claimed to be, he is. And that means that I may trust in him. I may lay hold of the solid rock that is the gospel, which he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can lay hold on that solid rock, and I can be sure that come what may, I shall live and I shall glorify the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth, because Jesus is God Almighty, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He is who he claimed to be. He is who the apostles confessed him to be. He is what the Bible says he is, and therefore I may be at peace in the knowledge of the Son of God. Secondly, because Jesus rose from the dead, it also proves that his doctrine or his teaching is the utter truth. Every word that came out of Jesus' mouth is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. And so when we consider that God raised him from the dead, God is telling us by that act, this one's words may be accepted and believed and trusted. He is the Son of God, and his words are the words of God. And therefore, as Christians living in a world of contradiction, we've got contradictions coming at us from every direction, right? Everybody's got an angle about why they think that it's okay for them to not bother with the Bible, to not bother with Jesus, to not bother with anything to do with what they call organized religion. I guess what they prefer is disorganized drivel, all right? But they don't want any organized religion. And yet, who organized the Christian faith? Jesus. who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's where I want to be standing, in the church of God, where the gates of hell will not prevail. Every place out there, no matter how nice it looks, is death and the smell of the grave. But in the church, there is life and life everlasting. So when you think about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, what the resurrection is telling you about his teaching is that everything that Jesus says is the truth. And therefore, if you were to stand before the whole world with nothing and no one except the Word of God, you stand victorious, even if the world despises you utterly. Number three, because the resurrection proves that the Father has accepted the sacrifice of his Son for our redemption. All right, this is the third thing. So number one, proves he's the Son of God. If he's risen from the dead, he's the Son of God. If he's risen from the dead, his doctrine is the truth. Right? And if he is risen from the dead, that means that the sacrifice, the suffering and the death that he underwent on the cross, all that he came into the world to do, it has been accepted by God the Father from his Son on your and my behalf. So his shed blood, suffering, and death is what cleanses us from all our sins. How can we stand as sinners, failed sinners, before a holy God? There's only one way to stand before God and to remain standing, and that is to stand in Jesus Christ. To trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. And so his suffering and his death prove that God the Father has accepted the sacrifice, which means your sins are forgiven. That's what a believer has to trust in. My sins, though they are many, they are forgiven. All right? So the third thing here is that God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of Christ for our eternal salvation. And the fourth thing today is this: because Jesus is raised from the dead, it proves that this life is not all there is, but that Jesus Christ, he faced death, he conquered death for your sake, and he rose again victorious over death for your sake and for my sake. And therefore, we know that through faith in him, we, though we must pass through temporal death, we know that we have victory over death. Why? Because those who are in Christ by faith shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is our heritage, the heritage of everlasting life in Christ. We therefore know that though we die, yet shall we live. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also, and nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So today we have four things to think about. Number one, he is the Son of God. Number two, his teaching is the divinely sent truth that will save your soul. And number three, the Father has accepted his once for all sacrifice as payment in full for your sins. And number four, you will rise again in Christ unto everlasting life. That's why the church preaches the gospel. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice, shall be saved. Doesn't say might be saved. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And so here we have a wonderful warning and a wonderful promise. Let's lay hold of that promise and not let anything in this paltry world rob us of the treasure that we have in Christ. He is risen. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.